question for the kids. Where are you, kids? Let's see. All right, good. I see the kids. All right, so put your hands down. So, kids, you ready for a question? All right. How many of you like to come to church sometimes? All right. That's good. Yeah, Noah's he's getting, some little help. Good. Now, notice I didn't say how many of you love to come to church all the time, because that might be like, I don't know. So I do have a question for the adults, and let's be honest. My hand's going up. How many of you, when you were little, you didn't always like going to church? All right. Yeah, and that's the way it was. Take your Bibles, please. Open to Psalm 84. We're going to be looking at someone who really wanted to go to the house of God. And we're going to learn why that was. And I think we're going to learn something, I hope we're going to learn something, about those who love to come to church. There are some people who always love to come to church. And that may not be us. I think if I were to ask you, do you love to come to church? If you were honest, you'd say, sometimes. And at varying degrees. And that's normal. But we are going to be shown by the Spirit of God the heart of someone who really wanted to be in the house of God. And we're going to see why. And I think that God would want all of us to grow to where we love to come to church. Because you know what heaven is? It's the house of God. Right? Heaven is the house of God. It's the dwelling place of God. And so the Spirit of God has preserved for us a song, a love song, about the house of God. And in it, he's going to show us why it is that some love to come to church. It's the same reason why some love to go to the temple or the tabernacle back then. So our text for this morning is Psalm 84, and the title of the message is Why Some Love to Come to Church. This is not meant to convict you if you don't always love to come to church. It's meant to encourage you to grow to the point where you would love to come. All right? So, Psalm 84, to the chief musician on an instrument of Gath. We've talked about that before. It was a musical instrument. And this is a psalm of the sons of Korah. It's probably a psalm of one of them because it is in first person singular. Verse 1, Psalm 84, verse 1. As always, I encourage you to follow along. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you, Selah. Pause and think about that. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools or blessings. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Pause and think about that. O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord God will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Now this is a song about the dwelling places of God. Take a look at verse 1. It literally reads like this. How beloved are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. So does God have dwelling places? I thought God was omnipresent. You ever heard that word, omnipresent? God is omnipresent. That means he exists everywhere. You can look up omnipresent. You'll find that. God is a spirit. He exists everywhere. However,
God does have dwelling places. God has places that he has appointed on the earth to meet with his people. In Moses' time, it was the tabernacle, right? Old Testament talks a lot about the tabernacle. In the Old Testament, Moses' time, it was the tabernacle. That was the place where God said, I will meet with you. And some people in Moses' time, they loved to go to the tabernacle. You might remember Moses would spend a lot of time in the tabernacle, and Joshua learned that, and he also liked to spend a lot of time there. In Solomon's day, it was the temple. And some people loved to go to the temple. Remember? You read the Old Testament, oh, people would weep if they couldn't get there. In our day, what is the church? Ephesians 2:22. The church is the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. That's what the church is. And the truth of Psalm 84 is simply this. It's found in the very first verse. Here's the truth. How beloved are the dwelling places of God. Now, beloved means that there are some people, not everybody. How beloved by some people are the dwelling places of God, the tabernacle in Moses' time, the temple in Solomon's, and the church today. This psalm is teaching us and showing us that there are some who loved to go to the temple, who loved to go to the tabernacle, and today who love to come to church. And if we ask the question, how beloved, the answer is very. If you look at verse 2, the psalmist here says, my soul longs, yes, even faints. Every time I think of fainting, I think of this. Oh. It was in a show long ago. Oh, the soul fainting. Well, the psalmist says, my soul faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. We could say he really, really wanted to get to the house of God. And here we do get a little bit of insight into what may be the historical setting of this psalm. We're not given what the historical setting was, and various commentators will talk about that. But apparently the psalmist was not in the house of God at the time, and he couldn't get there. But he wanted to go. Why couldn't he get there? Well, commentators talk about this also. There is some indication that he may have been on the battlefield. He may have been out to battle. How many of you ever served in the military? We've got some military people here. Praise God. You know, I've heard from people who have served in the military, there were times they would have loved to go to church, especially if you were actually out on the field of battle. So it may be that the psalmist, serving as a soldier on the field of battle, knew that he couldn't get to the house of God, but boy, he wanted to go. He wanted to go there. And again, the simple truth being taught here is that some people are like that. They love to go to the house of God. They love to come to church. The question is, why? And when I was a young person, that was a big question. We're going to church, son. Why? Do I have to go? Do I have to wear my leisure suit again? I don't want to wear the leisure suit. And then I got a different suit. It wasn't much better than the leisure one, to be honest. Do I have to wear a tie? Why do I have to go? Who'd have ever thought I'd become a pastor? Not my parents, I tell you that. So why is it? Why is it that why should we love to come to the house of God? And there are four reasons in the psalm. There are three that stand out, and then there's one that kind of wraps them all up. So I'll show you the three main ones and then the one that explains the other three, all right? So there are three reasons that are clearly standing out in the psalm, and then there's one that wraps those up. First reason why some love to come to church, why some love to be in the house of God, is because it is the place of praise. This is the place of praise, continual, joyful praise. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. Even the sparrow, now stop there for a second. I like that. You know, the psalmist really wanted to go to the house of God, but he couldn't get there. And he's like, he's envying the sparrow. He's envying the swallow. Spurgeon, the great English preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he has a sermon just on verse 3. Very much like Spurgeon. And I'll give you the highlight. The highlight of it is that he says, the little bird has found two things in the house of God that many saints have also found. And he says, one is The little birdie has found a home for herself near God. And number two, she has found a home for her young ones near God. I like that. That's good. And we'll actually come back to that towards the end. But the psalmist says, even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are these, and it's probably a reference to the sparrows and anyone who's like them. Blessed are these who dwell in your house. They are always praising you. That's the way it reads. They're always praising you. Selah, think about that. And by the way, the psalm does break down, you know, 1-4, followed by a Selah. Think about it. 5-8 ends with a Selah. Think about that. And then 9-12, and you don't have to have a Selah there. The psalm ends, and you're to stop and think about that. So there really are three things being highlighted here, reasons why the psalmist so much wanted to be in the house of God. And the first one he tells you, they're always praising God there. They always seem joyful, and it just doesn't end. And if you think about it, that's really true. If you come here to Bible studies, or if you even come to Awana, if you come to fellowship meals, if you come to Sunday school, if you come to church, you're going to hear people saying, "Praise the Lord." How'd I do, Tony? Pray there to praise the Lord, matey. You know, you're going to hear it in every language, with every accent, various. You might hear, well, you know, praise the Lord. You know, we talked this morning about our dear brother, Rodney White, brother in Christ, has gone home to be with the Lord yesterday. But you know what? He was ready. And we say, praise the Lord. He was ready. His faith was in Jesus Christ. And if you didn't know, there's no other way for you to have hope in heaven apart from Jesus Christ. He is the only hope. Christ came into this world to be the Savior for sinners. That's your only qualification. I qualify. Anybody else? Yeah, he came to be the Savior for sinners, and by the grace of God, I had the privilege of sharing the gospel with Rodney 11 years ago in the office right behind that wall. Rodney came over, he was in dire straits, I shared the gospel with him, and at the end of that, he said, "What do I do?" I said, "I think you should get down on your knees and cry out to Jesus Christ for salvation," and he did. And that doesn't happen every day. And by the grace of God, you who have known Rodney, we've watched him grow in the Lord, and he got baptized and sort of some fits and starts, but you know what? At the end of his life, I asked him, he said, "Do you think I'm going to go into the kingdom?" I said, "You know what? Depends. What are you trusting in?" He said, "Jesus Christ." You know what? Praise the Lord. And this is the reason to love to come to church. They're always praising God down there, and if they're not saying it, they're singing it. Like, you know, sometimes I sing in my sermons, right? Yeah. There was only one of those. And an amen. All right. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. That's one of them. How about this? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. That's another one, right? How about this? Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. I don't know. I mess them up. That's why I don't lead music. Very good. How about this? You ready? There's going to be a response. There's a response of him. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See, I don't lead singing because I can't sing. But a reason to love to come to church is they're always praising God down there at the church. Even when death comes, even when somebody's ill, they have reasons to rejoice. You know what? If you're out there in the world and that's all you are is out there in the world, there aren't always reasons to rejoice. But I'll tell you what, in the house of God, there are always reasons to rejoice. We are never left without reasons to truly, from the heart, rejoice in our Lord. That's a reason why some people love to come to church. They want to be happy. How many of you like being happy over being sad? That's a pretty simple one, right? The house of God is a place of joyful, continual singing, Selah. Stop and think about that. You know, what about you? Do you love to come to the house of God? Do you love to come here and sing and rejoice and say praise the Lord? The psalmist did. There's another reason, a main reason why some people love to come to church It's not only the place of joyful and continual praise, it's the place of strength, of spiritual renewing strength. Let's look at verses 5 through 9. Verse 5, blessed, that means in an enviable position, in an enviable position of having been favored by God. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Now, what kind of strength are we talking about? Are we talking about, you know, biceps and triceps? No. Blessed is the man whose spiritual, emotional, inner strength is in God. Blessed is the one whose strength to live a holy life, to love other people, including their enemies, to keep going in the midst of battle, to walk in the truth, to be wise, to endure trials. Blessed is the one who finds strength for all of that in the Lord. How many of you think it's easy to live the Christian life? Piece of cake. Yeah, nobody. And if you did, then you maybe were born again yesterday and you think this is going to be a breeze. And we all have news for you that it's not going to be a breeze. Living the Christian life is not easy. In fact, it is a battle. And if the psalmist was on the battlefield, if he wasn't on the battlefield, he was on the field of Christian battle. You know, he was a believer. It wasn't easy to be a believer even in Israel. And we get tired. We get tired. We need renewed strength. It's not easy to endure all the trials of life. Well, blessed is the man or woman whose strength to live and pray and grow and serve and help out and endure and even die in a manner pleasing to the Lord. Blessed is the one who finds strength for all of that in the Lord. That means in a close relationship with the Lord. And therefore, because his strength is in the Lord, look at the second half of verse 5. His heart is set on pilgrimage. What is that? Pilgrimage. Well, we don't do pilgrimage here, do we? That means his heart is set on going to the house of God in Jerusalem. Now, your Bible might say, in his heart are the highways to Zion. It means exactly the same thing. He knows that road by heart. He wants to travel. You know, a lot of Israelites, they would have certain appointed times when they would go to the house of God. And they looked forward to that with anticipation. It was a family reunion. Let's get the family together, grandma, grandpa, you know, cousins, aunts, uncles. We're all going to get together. We're going to pack up, and we are going to go on pilgrimage to the house of God. And they envied those people who lived near the temple because, man, they got to be there all the time. Lucky you. Verse 6, as they passed through the valley of Baca, you probably have a footnote there that says the valley of weeping. And it is put here, I mean, it may be literally as they pass through the valley of Baca, but the next line tells us that it's not literal. It says they make it a spring. Well, who is they? They is those who love the house of God, and therefore their heart is set on going there. As they pass through the valley of tears, the valley of weeping, put here for the trials of life. As they go through all the various trials of life, they can turn that into a spring. Wow. How do you do that? Well, have you ever seen people who are able to take tragedy or trial of life and find some reason to rejoice in the midst of it? Well, that's strength. That's the picture that's being drawn here for us. It means they have the ability to overcome the obstacles on the way to the house of God. You know, life is full of trials. Every week has new ones. You know, there's a sense in which you think, man, I wonder what's going to happen this week. There are going to be trials in the coming week. And there will be things that could prevent you from coming to church next week. But those whose heart is set on pilgrimage, they turn that valley of weeping into a spring. That is, they turn it into a source of strength to keep going forward to the house of God. There is application here, by the way. You can look at this psalm in terms of heaven. Those who live this life and suffer the trials of this life, every trial is a new encouragement to keep going towards heaven. But really, the mindset here of the psalmist is the one who finds their strength in the Lord, their heart is set on getting to the house of God because they want their strength renewed. And so any obstacle that comes along is not going to keep them from going. You know, I mean, you've seen this. People can come up with every reason not to go to church. You know, I really don't want to go. I'm kind of discouraged. But really often the reasons people give for not going to church is the reason they ought to go. I don't want to go to church. I'm really discouraged. You should go to church. Why? Because you're really discouraged. What? In Russia, I mean, you know, we lived there for 9 years, and I can tell you the winters are hard, and it gets to be like 40 below. man, there's a pretty good reason for me not to go. I don't know if we should go to church. It's minus 40. And you know what the Russians, we should go to church and pray for a change of weather. Let's go to church and pray for those in Siberia. It's minus 50. Let's be glad it's only minus 40. Or, no, you know what, we're going to gather, it's minus 40. We need to find out if any of the brethren are without heat. We're not just going for us. And that's the picture here. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Verse 6, as they, those whose heart is set on going to the house of God, as they pass through the valley of weeping, they turn that into a spring, and you think God is pleased? Even the rain from where? From heaven. Even the rain covers that valley with pools, and pools were a blessing in that dry and arid land. That means God is pleased that they are set on coming to his house. And as they overcome each obstacle to getting to the house of God, God blesses them on their way. That's the picture. Yeah, amen. And God does do that. I mean, we could wake up with reasons not to go to church. But you know what? If you get there anyways, I find you get blessed. One reason is they're always praising God at the church. It's the house of continual joyful praise. But you also get strengthened in your spirit for the journey ahead. Verse 7. They go from strength to strength, each one or until each one appears before God in Zion. That means they keep going forward from one level of strength to another level of strength. And the closer they get, the more eager they are to get there. Spurgeon writes this of the pilgrims who are headed to the house of God. He says, far from becoming wearied, they gather strength as they proceed. And if we spend our strength on what pleases God, then strength increases as we advance. I like that. And he's saying that of people who love to go to the house of God, people who love to come to church. You know, if you set your mind after service today that you're going to come to church next week, I don't think anything's going to stop you. You're just going to come. And there might be those, there might be things, there might be people who want to keep you from coming. And I'll tell you this, and if you can't come and you're like the psalmist, then you'll wish you had been here. You would want to be here. Look at verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. And what we need to do is stop and think about what he is pleading God for. Well, we already know his problem from verse 2. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. He wants to be near God. He wants to be in the house of God. He wants to be in the place of joyful praise and renewing strength, but he can't get there. And so he's saying, oh God, hear my prayer. And verse 9, he says, oh God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. Now this one kind of stops us and makes us think, well, what's that about? Well, a shield, of course, is a shield of defense or protection against the enemy. Here it's in parallel with the face of your anointed. The anointed was the king, the one anointed by God for protection, right? So here again is some indication that perhaps the psalmist was on the field of battle. And he's praying, God, look upon the shield that is our king. Look upon the face of your anointed. And I think the implication is we need you to strengthen him so that we can get back home and come to the house of God. And then he explains it in verse 10. Here's why we want you to help us get back to where we're in the house of God. Because a day, that's one day, in your courts is better than 1,000. Better than 1,000 where? Well, I'll tell you what, if he's on the battlefield, better than 1,000 on the field of battle. I think most soldiers would agree with that. Would you rather spend a day in church, believing soldiers, would you rather spend a day in church or be out on the battlefield? Oh, one day in a church with brothers and sisters in Christ singing songs and being refreshed in my spirit, hearing the word of God and giving thanks and praying, that would be better than 1,000 days on the front lines of battle, being shot at, hearing people curse, watching people die, and there's no reason out there to rejoice. And this is the longing of the psalmist. Now look, I don't know that we're all where he is. I don't know if you could spend, 1,000 days in Hawaii or one day in church. I don't think that's the comparison here. However, there is again an implication or an application to heaven, and I think one day in heaven will be better than 1,000 days down here. I think that's true. And the psalmist realizes that the house of God is a taste of heaven. And he's saying, if you ask me, one day in the house of God is better than 1,000 outside. Outside, you get tired, you grow weary, desperately in need of rest. Here, we find rest for our souls. Outside, there's war, there's fighting, there's so many reasons to get down and discouraged. Here, we find encouragement for our hearts. Outside, out there, our strength fails, we stumble, we need refreshment. Here, we are refreshed. Outside is where the wicked dwell and where wickedness abounds. Here is the house of holiness and righteousness, kindness and goodness and every good thing. Why do some people love to come to church? For one thing, the way they see it, we're always praising God here. It's the home, it's the house of joyful, continual praise. And second, it's the house of strength, the house of continual, renewing, spiritual strength. And again, if you've ever served in the military or if you've worked in a really secular environment, it's rough out there. And you might be able to say, I'd rather spend a day in church than 1,000 days out on maybe the railroad, 1,000 days at the chem depot, 1,000 days at, you know, Walmart, wherever. 1,000 days, don't answer that. Day in the house of God, better than 1,000 days at Walmart. I don't know, but I think so. God's house is a house of holiness and righteousness. Because His Spirit dwells here, it's a place of love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that's not the way it is out there. So what about you? Do you love to come to church? Do you see it as a place of praise, joyful, continual praise? Do you see it as a place of strength? Is your spirit and your soul renewed? Is your faith renewed in strength? And third, this is a place of amazing grace. The place of amazing grace. Verse 11. Here he explains why he says a day in God's house is better than 1,000 outside. Here's why. Because the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord God will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Why do some people love to come to church? Well, because the Lord God is a sun. That means he shines the light of truth. And this is the house of truth. All right, what is the church? It is the pillar and support of the truth. And here, God gives truth to his people. And truth that he gives is a shield. The Lord God is a shield. He's a shield of defense, of protection against the enemy, against depression, against discouragement. Here is where God arms his children for battle. The Lord will give grace. What is grace? Undeserved favor. And God gives it abundantly at his house. Here is where we enjoy things like forgiveness, help, compassion, pity, understanding. We don't deserve any of those things, but God gives these graces. He gives the gift of His Holy Spirit, the gift of eternal life, the gift of an eternal inheritance that can be never taken away. And here He gives glory. What does that mean? You know, there's a verse that says, God will not give His glory to another. Well, that means He doesn't give it in full measure. On the other hand, God does have many attributes that He shares with His children. Glory is the summation of all that makes God worthy of worship. I'll say it again. Glory is the summation of all that makes God worthy of worship. That's the glory of God. Well, God gives some of His attributes to His children. The longer you come to the house of God, the more you become like Him and like His Son, Jesus Christ. So He gives humility. He gives compassion. He gives a heart of love. He gives a heart of tenderness. I am not the person I used to be. I am becoming more tender. That's a good thing. That is a very good thing. You get that at the house of God. The Lord God gives grace, He gives glory, and then here's a test question. You ready? What is the one good thing that God withholds from those who walk uprightly? Nothing. Way to go. Look at the final line of verse 11. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. And the context here is those who come to the house of God. That's part of an upright walk. Those who gather together with the saints. Those who come into God's presence and desire to hear His word, desire to fellowship, desire to fulfill all the one another's that we are called to fulfill. This is why He says one day in God's house is better than 1,000 outside. Because this is the place of praise, joyful, continual praise. This is the place of strength, right? Renewing spiritual strength. And this is the place of grace, amazing grace. And there are many things that we didn't cover here. You know, this is the house of peace. This is the house of comfort. This is the house of encouragement. All right? The swallow has found a nest for herself where she may lay her young. This is the house for children. This is the house of acceptance. This is the house of where you can find a home for yourself. I have said many times, you know, my family, my blood relatives, they're all back east. But you are my family. I have found a home here. And I feel very at home in the house of God. I don't feel like an outcast. I don't feel like I'm rejected here. This is the place of a home. Verse 12 says, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. And the man who trusts in the Lord, in verse 12, is not different than the one whose strength is in the Lord, verse 5, or whose heart is set on pilgrimage. If you trust the Lord, you want to be in his house. You really do. And when you can't be, you pray to be. You say, oh Lord, my heart yearns to be in your house. Now I said there were four reasons, right? And I think I've only given you three. And I said it's a place of praise, that is continual joyful praise. It's the place of strength, that is continual, renewable spiritual strength. And it's the place of grace, amazing grace. There's all these gifts that God gives to his people. In fact, there's no good thing that he withholds from those who walk uprightly. But now we ought to ask, well, why is it that? Why is it that? Why do some people love to come to church? For all those reasons. But why is this the house of praise, the house of strength, and the house of grace? Verse 1. How beloved is your dwelling place? It's the house of God. God has dwelling places. This is where God has chosen to live. Right? Did you know? Paul says it this way. Or did you not know that you are the temple of the living God? You are. And that has a corporate reference. There is an individual reference that the individual believer is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But very often, when Paul says that, and when he says it in 1 Corinthians 6, he has in mind a corporate application. You, corporately, as the body of Jesus Christ, you are the temple, the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And that's why this is the house of praise, because God has chosen to dwell inside of us who are his children. That's why I love to come to church. If none of you are here, I mean, I can come, but it's not much point in coming if you're not here. Right? This is the dwelling place of God in his children, and that's why I love to come to church. It's because of you. If you all say that for the next 12 weeks you're not coming, I'm probably not showing up either, because there's no use in me coming by myself. And that's why some people love to come to church. They love to be with Christians. They love to be with the body of Christ. And they love to be a part of the body of Christ and function. So what about you? Do you love to come to church? Do you love to gather with the saints in the presence of God? Do you love to sing praises? Do you like to be strengthened in your faith by God's word and by his Spirit and by those in whom he dwells? Do you love to come to the house of God and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? You know, probably if you were to answer honestly, the answer is sometimes. And I think God would have us get to the point where it's, you know what, all the time. There are many things which cause us to not love completely coming to the house of God. And usually it's us. You know, we're sinful. We get distracted. We are paying attention to somebody's hairdo or lack of a hairdo. Or we're paying attention to somebody's perfume or lack of perfume. Or we're paying attention to somebody's clothing or whatever. You know, we get distracted by everything else. We need to learn to overlook those things and come for the right reasons. Say, Lord, help me to love your house. Help me to love coming to church. Help me to love to come to the place where I praise you, where I'm strengthened in my soul, and where you bless me with your abundant grace. For those of you who are here without Christ, it would make sense that you would not love to come to church, but I will tell you, the reason God wants you to come anyways is because there's a God in heaven who loves you, who sent his son to die for you. If you didn't know, God wants you to know that you are a sinner, but that none of us are any better than you. We're all on that same plane. We're all sinners. But God in his grace sent his son to be the Savior for sinners. And so even those who are not believers, you might be here today and you're like, well, I don't know God. I don't love God. I don't know Jesus. I don't love the Bible. You know what? I have good news for you. God wants you to hear the truth. He wants you to be saved. He wants to forgive you of your sins. And if you're here and you're listening today, that's of God. God loves to have you here, because he loves you and he wants you to know his love for you. The cross is the emblem of God's love for you. We know that God demonstrates his love for us in that Christ died for us while we were still sinners. Christ died to save you of your sins. Let today be the day of salvation, the day of repentance, the day of calling upon God for salvation. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your house. Thank you for this church. Thank you for giving us hearts that want to gather, that want to come. And make us more like the psalmist, who could say that a day in your house is better than a thousand outside. Because the future is heaven. One day we will be home for good. And surely a day there is better than a thousand down here. And Father, we pray, give us a heart like Christ's, who desired to be in your presence always. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.